Don't you think that this also is an area of a great deal of confusion for the child? The parents have not really made up their own minds what is important.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today with my friend Arlita Winston. Welcome to the studio,
Thank
Arlita.
Thank you.
Arlita is a wise mother, and she has been giving us lots of wisdom for the mothers and the fathers out there. And we ran out of time on our last program talking about her little granddaughter, Kirsten, who refused to ask to be excused from the table. So this entailed going upstairs with grandmother and having a little quiet heart-to-heart talk. And tell us what happened next.
Well, I came downstairs and waited for 30 minutes before I went up again to see if she was ready. And no, she definitely was not ready. This happened when she was 3 1/2. And she had occupied herself with different things, and she was definitely not ready to say, "May I please be excused?" And so I said to Joe, I said, "You folks just go on off to church. I have got to win this battle, and I'll miss church." So it was 2 hours before Kirsten decided she would happily come down and say, "Okay, Grandma, may I please be excused?" And Joe was already home from church before that happened.
Did you only go up once during those 2 hours?
I went up once to see how she was, and then I decided now the breakfast table was cleared and I needed to do some things upstairs, but I didn't want her around me. I wanted her to sit alone to think about it. So I transferred her back to the breakfast table where she sat it out. And then I would go back and forth in the room every so often just to see how she was and to give her an opportunity to say, "Grandma, can I please be excused?" But it was not forthcoming at all. When she made up her mind, she did it cheerfully, and she did. I might say this is Brad's daughter.
Brad, the one that we were talking about that had torn his book into bits.
She, incidentally, has just given her heart to the Lord.
When she finally did decide to say, "May I please be excused, Grandma," was this on one of your trips through the kitchen to see whether she was ready,
no,
or did she come to you?
No, she just came, right into me.
Mm-hmm.
Which shows me it is a will that she had to make up.
And she was thoroughly aware of what
totally,
was expected.
There
was no question whatsoever of the parents' expectations. And don't you think that this also is an area of a great deal of confusion for the child? The parents have not really made up their own minds what is important. They have not gotten it across clearly to the child that this thing which is important today is also going to be important next week and the week after that. And as you have so well illustrated, there's nothing more important in the rearing of a child than that incident right then and there, that opportunity.
Yes, and not only when the child is at home with their parents. I think Brad and Lisa were rather astonished to find out that she was so rebellious in such an ordinary little thing that she never is rebellious at home. But Kirsten was testing me to see if I would hold her accountable, and she was hoping to be able to get away with something.
And I suppose most children do get away with almost anything with their grandparents, not to mention their Aunt Susie or the man at the store.
Yes, and I really think it's important for a grandparent to check with their children to know what standards they're working on, which I am frequently doing because I want to carry out what Brad and Lisa are wanting to instill in the children.
Exactly. It's not our job to
make
the rules for the grandchildren, but we certainly want to do what we can to support
parents
when we have that opportunity. About this business of disciplining children, Arlita has given us some excellent advice about tone of voice, the firmness and gentleness of the touch. In the case of when Brad tore up his book, she presented him with the evidence of his sins by putting the pieces in his lap. Eye contact, stillness, all of these things are so tremendously important. But then there are two things that you told me that you always have handy. A wooden spoon and a switch. I would assume that these are to reinforce all those other things that
yes,
you told us about.
And to speak when I don't want to speak. Or when I've finished speaking. In fact, we had a rule in our family that mother and daddy speak once, and after that, if they don't listen, it's disobedience. And so if I've spoken once and they don't obey, that wooden spoon is the next thing that speaks.
It's important when you speak once to be sure yourself that the child has heard you, right?
Yes.
I mean, there are times when a parent is not really paying close enough attention to realize that the child literally did not hear.
Yes, and sometimes a parent can give an instruction and then forget all about giving that instruction and not follow through to see if it's been done. And then the child realizes that those commands really aren't very important.
So tell me about this wooden spoon. What do you do with it?
Oh, I thought that was obvious.
Well, no, it isn't.
They put out their hand and whomp. And I'm afraid to say that I've broken a few wooden spoons
on their open hand.
Mm-hmm. I kept a switch in the car.
Some people don't know what a switch is. I've used that word because that's what my mother always used on us. And people say, "What's a switch?"
Just a
little stick.
A very, very thin branch off the tree will sting but will not harm the child.
And where do you use that? On what part of the anatomy?
Boy, the closest thing that presents itself.
The
usually
face?
Their legs. Oh, no.
Never the face.
No, never. But it's usually their little legs, and it stings without hurting them. And yet it's a very good reminder.
Would you ever strike a child in the face
no.
with your hand or a switch or a spoon?
No.
So we're not talking at all about child abuse, are we? There's
no.
so much confusion about that out there that we need to be very careful that we are defining terms here, because there are even Christian parents who don't know that the Bible speaks of the use of a rod, and they think that it's just absolutely sinful to use what they would call violence on a child. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about just simple reinforcement.
And well, I think it can become violence if the parent allows himself to get so angry that he's really punishing the child out of his own anger. And this, I think, is a sin before God and the child. It's abuse when it's that
more.
Way.
Mm-hmm. What suggestion do you have for a parent who does have a great deal of difficulty controlling his temper? If he sees the child doing something naughty and his first reaction is anger, what can he do, he or she?
I think that in that case, the person needs to spend that time alone with God, talking to him, knowing that God is not going to punish him for talking to him about it, that God is going to help him to deal with his anger. Very often it has to do with bitterness being held in the parent's heart towards something, and the Holy Spirit can reveal that to you if you ask him, say, "Why am I getting so angry about this?" And it may be because you need to do some forgiving and getting rid of some bitterness in your own heart. Maybe you're very, very angry at that moment with your husband, and you're just striking out at the child.
Taking it out on the poor little child.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm finding more and more is how quickly the Holy Spirit responds to a earnest request on our part to show us where it is that we're going wrong. And generally, when this is forgiven and dealt with, God starts helping us to work in it in our own hearts, and it begins to resolve itself with a child.
Now, can we just take one example in the last minute or so that we have? If, say, the child is going to pick up the Royal Doulton figurine from the coffee table, and you look at him and you say, "Brad, no, don't touch that." And he continues toward the figurine. What's the next step?
Well, that probably would have happened around the time when he was 9 or 10 months old, pulling himself up, because that would be the first time of temptation. And I would walk over and I would snap his little hands with my finger with a good sharp snap, at the same time looking in his eyes and saying, "No, no."
Do you think a child understands that word?
Oh, yes. And then I would physically remove him from the temptation. Mm-hmm. Now, if he moves back, I would reinforce it again and again.
With another word and another snap.
Yes. And if the third time, I would remove him from the room altogether. And I would watch for the next occasion, because I shouldn't be relieved that that situation is over just by moving him out, because I know this is going to present itself again, and I would look for another opportunity. And that's another reason why I wouldn't remove all good things, because you need to test that child.
Yes, if he's not taught that at home, then what are you going to do when you get to the grocery
that's
store,
right,
or when you go to visit Aunt Susie, mm-hmm, who has lots of Royal Doulton figurines around? It really is sad that so many young parents take a view of total despair, that there's just no way of controlling a child, and so they child-proof the house. Well, we wish we had more time to talk today, but we will be talking with Arlita again. Arlita Winston, thank you so much for being with
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.